Welcome to I Caught It on Audio. This is Ride or Die episode 15. Toadies, part 2.
Hello and welcome to I Caught It on Audio. Today we are continuing our Ride or Die series where we pick a band and do a deep dive into their complete discography. This is part 2 of a 2-part series on the Toadies, who are best known for their hit Possum Kingdom, which first appeared on the album Rubberneck. Last time we covered the album Double Low, Stars Above, No Deliverance, and Feeler. And this time around, we're going to be doing Play Rock Music, Heretics, The Lower Side of Uptown. Dan, how did you feel about these three just kind of as a whole? And then we'll start getting into the individual albums.
Well, I thought it was overall very good. There was one particular album that was a real highlight, and the other two were very solid. I would say better than my least favorite, but maybe those other two weren't super close to the top. There was really very little to complain about. I would say that this was another enjoyable session.
Yeah. So we left off with Feeler, which came out in 2010, and then just 2 years, and that was kind of a reissue of an album that had never been released before, but was also kind of stripped of its hits and blah blah blah. But then 2 years later, they came out with the album Play Rock Music. Jamie, what did you think of Play Rock Music?
Well, I loved everything about this album. I love the cover. I don't know why. It makes me think of 90s bands and music. And
the weird baby dolls, yeah, with the pink filter.
And, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I love how it begins. And I love how it ends, too. It's awesome. I don't know. I love the music on it. I like the vocals. I don't know that there's one song that I didn't like. I didn't love Animals, but still, it's not like cringy or, I don't know, it wasn't terrible. But yes, I love this album.
Yeah, I thought it was phenomenal. Rattler's Revival is just this kind of goofy, kind of almost feels like a 50s, a modern take on a 50s song from the 50s where they're the surf rock era. We've kind of got this woo-woo thing going on over and over again. And then the theme of being a snake and all getting together and doing snake things just cracks me up, and I love it. And then we've got one of their more serious albums to end, or songs to end the album in The Appeal, which might be, it's quickly becoming my favorite Toadies track. I don't know that it'll ever pass Possum Kingdom or Tyler even, but it's certainly up there. Dan, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I really liked it. I'm maybe not quite as high as you guys are on it. I thought it was, I think you made a good point, Jamie. Even the weaker songs are not weak. Mm-hmm. They're at the very least totally, like, I'd be fine having them in a shuffle play, you know. I wouldn't be bothered. I also had Animals as maybe my least favorite, and I also I didn't give the old thumbs up to Beside You, but I think that might be because I think there's a better version that we hear later on.
True.
But I did find that the opener is one of the best songs. The Rattler's Revenge, The Appeal is definitely, I think, the best song. It's really, really good. Yes. Has a really nice feel. There's nothing revolutionary about it. They just pull it off. So
no. Yeah, it's just incredibly well executed music.
Like, yeah, I think the album, you know, and I as I'm looking at my list of, you know, thumbs up and no thumbs up, I think Rattler's Revival is great, and then Get Low through Animals are solid, and I don't know that there's that Get Low, Summer of the Strange, and Magic Bullet are necessarily better than Beside You and Animals, but I felt like the album was getting just a little samey in that stretch. So by the time I got to Beside You and Animals, I was like, you know, But then it really picks up, starting with Sunshine. Mm-hmm. But there was a bit of, it was almost a little too streamlined and normal of an album for a bit there. Which is not what you associate with Toadies, right?
Right.
But when Laments of a Good Man pops in, you're like, what? This is this terrible or is this great? I think it's great, you know? Very bizarre.
I mean, you gotta listen to the whole thing
a
couple times, I feel like, because it is. It's like, what are these background vocals? And then what is happening? And then it's like super fast and then it's slow and
you got the feel change, which is really cool, and it bounces back and forth, and it feels like it's maybe a tongue-in-cheek, like you get what you ask for. Mm-hmm. Right. But then you're too dumb to realize that it's not necessarily a good thing, or I don't know exactly what they're trying to say, but delving too deep into the lyrics of Toadies leads to some weird places sometimes. Yep. So
that's I don't think you want to get here.
But I really liked We Burned the City Down.
Me too.
Had a really nice sort of acoustic bluesy feel. And The Appeal is the highlight of the album. I love it when an album ends on the best song almost, you know, I mean, or arguably the best song. It has a really nice sort of down tempo, sort of a drawling feel to it. And I really, really like it. So I thought this album was very good. I don't know if I would put it quite on the level of Hell Below, Stars Above. Or maybe even No Deliverance. I think it's right there, but maybe down a notch. Because I think the first half of the album is a little, it feels not uninspired, but it feels a little bit samey in that the songs feel a little safe. For the Toadies, safe, you know.
But right.
I do think the back half of the album really, really kicks into gear. And it may just suffer in my mind because I liked the next album more. So I was always excited to get to the next album.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one is Heretics, which came out 3 years later in 2015. Man, oh man, what is going on with this album? You've got several. It's kind of like a greatest hits album, but also
reimagined,
mm-hmm. and then also some new tracks that they wrote. And there's a Blondie cover in there, which is great. And it's just, I'm not sure exactly what to think of this one other than I absolutely love every second of it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, you know, I start off with The Belly of the Whale, which is a new for this album, which is phenomenal. You've got a crazy reimagining of Tyler, where it's, you know, what they do with this one. They slowed it down or
mandolin.
The mandolin. That's right. And
keyboard to cover the guitar riff. Lead guitar riff. Works really, really well.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I can't believe how well that works. Then you've got a new arrangement for Beside You. And I think you're right, Dan. This is the better version of that song.
Yeah, I think I prefer this more slightly more acoustic version of it. I don't know. I felt that there wasn't enough tonal variety in the first half of that album, but it sits nicely as sort of a more acoustic version for me.
Yeah, another great version of Rattler's Revival.
I think I liked the original better of Rattler's Revival, but it's still good.
I think you're right, but it's nice to have a slightly different version, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's good enough that you're like, oh, it's close, you know, I'll take it.
Right. Then there's this cool Blondie cover, Heart of Glass.
Which is amazing. Like his voice, it really suits the song.
Absolutely.
For some reason, which is not something that you would think. But
yeah, it's almost like dreamy, which is not what you think about when you think of Todd Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
But it works very well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Possum Kingdom with a new arrangement, which is great. I forget what they did to that one.
It doesn't feel like it's that much different to me.
Just acoustic, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A little, it's intense in a different way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I don't know whether I like this version of The Appeal better than the Play Rock Music or not, but it is, again, phenomenal. I came to this song for the first time in this listen through, right? and I got two really good versions of it back to back, and I just don't know which one I like better.
I don't think it really matters too much. I love that song.
And there's some weirdness. There's Doll Skin, right? This is the is that the one that's actually
no
that's Jigsaw Girl and Send You to Heaven. Mm-hmm. Those are mislabeled. Oh,
okay, yeah. So I'm sorry.
Yep. That confused me a little bit too. And then I was convinced that Send You to Heaven was a song I knew because it sounds like a song I know.
Right.
But it isn't. Apparently they've been playing it live, but never released it before when I looked into it a little bit. But I was very confused by that as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many tracks about murdering women that it's hard to keep track. I guess it's not even just murdering them, but murdering them, shoving them in your trunk, and then driving them to Memphis, and then cutting them into little pieces.
Yeah, lots of serial killer feeling songs. That's weirdly that's their niche, and it doesn't ruin the band.
It doesn't.
No, not at all.
Even the song "Beside You," it's like it's a promise, but it's also kind of a threat.
Yeah, you always feel the darkness sort of lingering behind the lyrics.
I don't know. I don't know why I love it, but I do.
It works. Yeah, it's a little inexplicable, but Doll Skin's a great song too. Mm-hmm. And again, on a similar subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we commented on this one in the first go through, and I hadn't thumbs upped it yet, and I think I just totally missed it. Because I absolutely loved it on this album, and I went back and listened to the original. I'm like, why didn't I thumbs up this one? So that one got retroactively added.
Yeah.
But then we've got a really cool big band version of Backslider.
I like that one.
Yeah, that was cool to have that variety. Some of these songs work great just by switching up to acoustic and maybe slowing it down a little, maybe just having a slightly different take on the vocals.
Yeah.
Backslider had a real different feel to it because of the horns.
Yeah. And, so good.
I wouldn't have thought that would be a great idea, but
nope.
Worked great.
Yeah.
And then the Jigsaw Girl and Send You to Heaven, which are named, and they've got to be named incorrectly.
Yeah,
this, right?
Yeah, they are. Send You to Heaven's first, and then Jigsaw Girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they are flipped.
It confused me for a long time. But
yeah. Yes. Well, and like I said, in part because Send You to Heaven sounds a little bit like something between Doll Skin and Jigsaw Girl.
Right.
And you're like, wait, am I confused? Yep. I need to like look at the lyrics when I was listening to the song to figure it out. Like, yes, okay, I was right. That is Jigsaw Girl. But
well, I mean, it's like the Crazy Crying Amazing trilogy for Toadies, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. And what I thought was cool about this album is the three original songs, Queen of Scars and The Belly of the Whale and Send You to Heaven, which, I mean, I know that it's been around for a while and wasn't necessarily written for this album specifically, but is original to us, are really strong. Like, it's not like I only listen to this because I want to hear, a different version of Tyler or Possum Kingdom. Mm-hmm. But there are no weak songs on here. I gave them all thumbs up.
Oh yeah.
And I think what's interesting about this is we did our U2
That's what I was gonna say too.
Covers thing where they were reimagining and rethinking stuff and it's self covers. That there's a few things going on there, I suppose, which we talked about. One is, I don't think Bono figured out how to adapt to his new reality with his vocals, or at least he's not doing it in a way that I think works for me.
Right.
And maybe there's a little bit of that sort of top end missing, as Todd Lewis is in his 50s or whatever now, but the voice is still very strong.
And that's evident in the next one too. Yep.
And they're doing basically the same thing as U2 did, which is making more acoustic based, even adding horns on some songs. There's a lot of similarities, but I don't think it's the strength of the songs because U2 writes great songs. I think that they just I don't know if their taste is off, but they totally missed the mark. Whereas this did not.
No, this is perfectly executed.
Some of the songs are arguably better. Like, I might argue that the original Rattlers Revival, like you said, Jamie, is a little better. I would argue Beside You is a little better in this form. Appeal, it's hard to say, you know? So, like, it's sometimes a little better, sometimes a little worse. Sometimes it's very different, like Backslider, which is kind of great. They all work. They're not 100% different necessarily, but they're executed well enough where you're like, oh, this is what, like, if I went to a Toadies concert and they just like busted out acoustic instruments and played them, and you're like, oh, that's also great.
Right.
They're not necessarily night and day, but I'd like to listen to both of them. I don't find any of them unnecessary. And also the Heart of Glass cover, and then there's a cover on the next album that we'll talk about
too.
Yes,
there sure is.
that makes me want them to put out a cover album. You know, like, I'm like, oh, I'm pretty good at this. Dang, you know. So yeah, this was a real highlight. You know, this is in the top level for me of Toadies albums for sure, up there with Rubberneck and Hell Below, Stars Above, and No Deliverance. I mean, I don't know exactly what the order is, but it's right up there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with this, the addition of Send You to Heaven, you know, finally being released, it just makes me think that Feeler album, it got abused. You know, the version we listened to, which was these 9 tracks, and basically all the hits had been stripped of it and put on other albums. And, you know, we all kind of left with the feeling of that Feeler was kind of a low point, right? But yes, you know what? You take those one, hits. And then put this Send You to Heaven, and you've got a really good album. Mm-hmm. So
it's all the
messed up.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I don't think they knew what to do with the band. Now, would that have sold a ton of albums? Who knows? I feel like by the time they got it together to put albums out again, maybe the time had passed for their sound as far as mainstream success is concerned.
Right.
But you're right. Feeler would have been just as strong. What we ended up with was all the, oh, I didn't love that song, but it was pretty good songs that appear on other albums. You're like, wow, there's 3 or 4 where I'm like, well, I mean, I don't absolutely need this song, but I don't mind it if it comes on as part of the album. That's what we got. And it was, I would say, probably 7 out of the 9 songs were in that category. And there were a couple of interesting ones. But yeah, you're right. They definitely were still writing good songs at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. This one came out in 2015, and then 2 years later, they released what is, I believe, their most recent album in 2017, The Lower Side of Uptown. And we're back to the hard rock sound, alternative grunge, punky sound that Toadies is most known for, I think. And it's another great one. Mm-hmm. Honey, why don't you tell us what you thought about this one?
Yeah, I really like this one. You know, I knew, so Heretics is kind of where the idea started, I think, because I heard Tyler in its very different form and was just so intrigued, and then listened to the rest of that album. So that was actually the second album I listened to besides Rubberneck. And then we went through, and Play Rock Music was so good. And I almost didn't want to listen to this last album because I didn't want to like ruin my feelings about what I had heard so far. And I think it opens really strong. I like the kind of, between the first two songs, When I Die and Take Me Alive, there's kind of a, I don't know, a little connection, I guess. Like, I don't know. It's talking about being dead and alive, and there's like a little play there.
He's
like
definitely deliberate about his lyrics and his themes between songs within albums. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I mean, I just love a lot of songs on this album. And then I was getting to the point where we heard the cover of I Put a Spell on You, which is amazing and perfect for the Toadies, I think.
Yeah.
In several ways, not just, his voice is perfect for it because he's a great shouter, screamer, if you will, but also thematically, it fits very well with the Toadies and the whole possessing, you're my possession and all that.
Yeah.
Like, and a little bit of voodoo magic, you know, that sort of feel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when you hear this song, the original, it's kind of like, oh, that's kind of, I mean, that sounds really cool, but that's kind of,
it's a bit of a novelty song.
Yeah. I don't know if I like the message in that song, but then the Toadies sing it and you're like, yeah, that's awesome. I am anyway. So,
yeah.
And then there was Echo, and I loved Echo. I like the beginning. It like had like a Chili Peppers feel to me. Okay. Scar Tissue. What is that one? Californication. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. It had that kind of feel to me. And then I was like, oh, there's one song left. It's, I hope it's not a bad song. It's got to be a good song. And I love that last song. Like, it just leaves me wanting more. So I was really, really happy with this album too.
Yeah. What'd you think, Dan?
Yes, this was another good album for sure. They did sort of, on you know, maybe half the songs, they sort of ramped it back up because, I mean, obviously Heretics was acoustic bass, so that wasn't going to be as intense. But I think, like I mentioned, play rock music felt a little streamlined. A little bit of the rough edges were sanded off at times. This one had some of those rough edges back. Mm-hmm. And I think that was nice to hear. The only song there were a lot of songs on here that I liked but didn't quite love. So for me, this was maybe a little bit of a notch. I mean, certainly a step down from Heretics, but I don't think it's weak by any means. I think it's definitely better than Feeler. It's more in that sort of middle zone that play rock music was sitting in terms of their albums. The only song I didn't really, maybe I just need to hear it more or enjoy the weirdness, but Human Cannonball was one that I didn't give a thumbs up to. But other than that, you know, I there were a lot of songs where I was like, yeah, this is good. I like this. The cover was interesting. I agree that the original is pretty, a little bit, you know, goofy and over the top. I always think of the Creedence Clearwater Revival cover of that song when I think about that song.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think of that one.
And I might argue that that's maybe even a better cover, but this is a very good cover. I did enjoy, like, you know, in Take Me Alive, you've got some good Lewis, like taking a line and repeating it in a weird voice, like just a little bit tighter. Like, I guess he makes the song more interesting when he does stuff like that. Uh-huh. I agree. Sentimental was one of my favorite ones because there was like a nice slow build to it. Uh-huh. And same with Amen. Echo was good. I liked Mama Take Me Home as well. And then I what do you guys think? So is Polly Jean about PJ Harvey? Do you think? This is what I was thinking the whole time, every time I listened to it. How many Polly Jeans do you know? And then also, it's about water, and her most well-known song is Down by the Water. I don't know. That's what I was thinking about when I was listening to it.
I didn't put that together, but I'll have to listen to it with that in mind.
Yeah.
That's what it sort of represented to me, like sort of an ode to PJ Harvey, which is not a bad thing to have on your album. No,
because she's amazing.
Yeah, yep. Anyway, I really liked it. Not one of their top, you know, two or three albums, but very good. Like for an album that came out, what, nearly 30 years after they got together as a band, it's very strong. They haven't lost their ability to crank out these good, like alternative sort of grunge and punk laced hard rock songs. And I think that's hard to pull off sometimes because it's easy for it to seem a little lame at a certain point, but they're able to avoid that. And this was another good album. Dave, what do you got? Anything else you want to add on this one?
Not to this one specifically. I mean, you guys pretty much said all the things that I was going to say. I did want to touch on the fact that their sound, while, you know, on the surface is just kind of alternative grunge, there is a lot going on, you know, deeper underneath the surface of their music. You've got all kinds of stuff. You've got the punk rock and the blues and all those, you know,
big band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just all that's mashed into there and just comes together in this beautiful, I don't know if beautiful is the right thing to say, but just this amazing sound that I absolutely love. And it's like the culmination of all my favorite music styles executed nearly perfect. And man, I have had so much fun doing this. It reminded me a lot of the White Stripes Ride or Die, where I was just pleasantly surprised at every turn with how good the next album was and then the next album and all that stuff. So,
yeah, no real weaknesses, I think.
No.
You could argue Feeler.
But even Feeler got abused.
Yeah, Feeler, there's reasons for it. And also, it's fine. It's not like it's bad. It's just there aren't nearly as many highlights. So the sort of, usually there's on all but their very best albums, there's a, you know, two or three songs where I'm like, well, I don't know. It's okay. It's fine. I like it, but it's not on the level. It feels like it's mostly full of those songs.
Right.
But that's not bad. You know, it's not like it's, I don't want to listen to it. There weren't any songs I gave a thumbs down to, 'cause I was like, I don't want to hear this again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like we had a, like with Live and Counting Crows, there were just times where the band just went wrong, you know.
Yeah,
that never happened at all here. What's that?
Or Weezer, which the
Weezer, you know, Weezer was a whole other thing. we might need to do a proper revisit to Weezer, but we'll talk about that at another time. But this was just a joy to it's been a fun 6-8 weeks listening to all this stuff as the primary music that I've been listening to.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to you getting the playlist together so I can just listen to
the playlist. Yeah, I mean, so that's
it's going to be most of the songs probably
for the listeners. We've started doing something called 64 Tacos Approved, where we on one of our ride or dies, we'll have all three contributors pick which songs they think should be on it, and then if all three people agree, then that is officially a 64 Tacos Approved song. So we'll have a Toadies playlist with all of the songs that the three of us have all approved coming out here shortly after this podcast is released. Which one album, if you had to choose one album, which album of these seven do you choose? Jamie?
Rubberneck.
Rubberneck.
No hesitation. I mean, Heretics is amazing, but I still, it's Rubberneck for me.
All right. Dan?
My top three are Heretics, Hell Below, Stars Above, and Rubberneck. And it's a little unfair because Rubberneck has history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've been listening to it for, you know, since 95, right? So it's a little unfair. So I'd probably take Rubberneck. But I think any one of those three albums could be the best one if I was coming into it not knowing anything about any of them. There's a certain attitude and sort of urgency to Rubberneck. It has some of their most memorable songs. But the other ones are great too. I just, you know, it's a little unfair to judge them against Rubberneck because of my personal attachment to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the same for me. It's Rubberneck, but honestly, Heretics, Play Rock Music, Hell Below, Stars Above, any of those, maybe even honestly, any of them but Feeler could probably potentially pass Rubberneck in the next, you know, 25 years. So with an equal amount of listenings. But if I only get one CD for the CD player to ruin my child's life by taking the Beatles CD out, it would be Rubberneck. Are you guys ride or die?
I'm ride or die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever felt quite as strongly about a ride or die. Even more so than White Stripes. I feel like the hit rate is higher for me with this band. So yeah.
I think so too.
I mean, they only have seven albums, so that makes it a little easier, but you know, White Stripes only had about five or six. So
White Stripes had six. It was very similar.
They're both very good, but yeah, definitely I don't think there's any doubt. I'm ride or die for like 94% of every song they've ever put out, you know.
Right.
So
absolutely.
What about you?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I don't think there's any doubt that I am definitely ride or die for this one.
It's funny because you guys have done, the two of you have done several more ride or die than I have. So after Weezer and Counting Crows, both of bands that I love, right? I love specific albums from them. And I just thought, there is never going to be a band that I am ride or die for.
Yeah.
And this was just such a surprise because I've had multiple albums of Weezer and I've had multiple albums of Counting Crows. And I just had the one for Toadies. And
I mean, we own more Weezer albums than Toadies have released.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun.
Yeah. I mean, in my mind, I knew that Hell Below, Stars Above existed because I was reading about it, you know, back in the early 2000s. Like, oh, maybe I should get that album. And I never actually did. But I thought, and then they broke up, and that was the end of it. And it kind of was until about 2009 or 10. And I totally missed them getting back together because, well, I guess why would I have known unless I was looking for it?
Right.
But the fun thing was not just that Hell Below Stars Above was really strong, which I was worried it might not be, but that they also put out, you know, four albums after that or five albums after that. And they're mostly very strong as well. So it was I didn't even know that you could do a ride or die for Toadies. Because two albums isn't enough, right? You know, that's, I don't think you can do, you got to have at least four or five, you know, to over a course of a couple of decades to be ride or die. It was interesting to find out. It's like, why didn't I just get the Hell Below Stars Above in the first place? You know,
jeez,
you know, 25 years ago, or 20 years ago, I was thinking about doing, I just didn't. And then, if I had just been paying more attention, if that had been that good, maybe I would have been paying attention and gotten on board with these other ones. But I know that I would love Hell Below Stars Above even more if I just lived with it for the last two decades.
Right.
And I'm really annoyed at myself that I didn't follow through on all that, considering how good Rubberneck is. Yeah, I should have given him a second chance, but now we did belatedly. And it was well worth it. Absolutely. Totally worth it.
Is there anything else you guys have on Toadies?
It's a great band.
Yeah. Listen to them.
Great band. I think they're
criminally underappreciated, I'm guessing, based on the level of coverage and album sales since the 90s. I can't believe a band like this can sort of fall off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Also, I do think they are playing shows. I think there's a show in November in Royal Oak.
Oh, really?
I think so. We should look into that.
Yeah, we should. I'm not big on going to shows, but if it was, it's something I would consider doing to go see them because I think it could be fun.
No, we never saw them back in their heyday, you know. And it's great. And also, they have a yearly festival called Dia de los Toadies in Texas, like in Dallas or something.
Okay.
Oh. Not that I'm suggesting we make a road trip, but they're definitely, they haven't put out an album in 6 years, but they're still doing stuff. They're still together, and I hope they put out another album because I have no doubt it will be totally worth checking out.
Yeah.
Definitely. Also, we can stop at the best Taco Bell in the truck stop ever and see the tallest Jesus statue ever.
Yeah. I mean,
we can do all those things.
We can do all those things in Texas. Well, the Taco Bell was in Arizona.
It was we stopped there on the way from Tucson to Arizona or to Phoenix.
Well, I guess we're going to Arizona.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're going to go as far as Texas, we got to go.
Might as well.
I mean, when's the last time we will have seen Zach and Teresa by the time this comes out?
Seriously, it has been so long.
It will have been days since we saw them last.
If you want more content like this, you can find everything we've done at 64tacos.com. If you really liked it, go to buymeacoffee.com/64tacos and you can buy us a taco. Thanks for listening.
I caught it on audio.
'Sorry, Jamie's secretly typing something right now on my keyboard.
I just thought you guys were stunned by my insight. And you're like, what else can be said? That was just so brilliant.
So you're going to edit this out, right?
We'll see.
We're very professional. I know that much.
What?
So, you know, we should ask all of our many listeners what bands they think we should.
That's a good idea.
Do Ride or Die.
Maybe I'll put that in the outro. All right. You know, you put it above the outro on the notes here. So.
Is that in your outro?
It's not in the outro.
Okay.
But I'm saying you put it above, so I was very confused as well. What was going on?
I don't know how this works.
Neither do we, clearly.
All right. Do you guys have anything else on Earth? Sorry, hold on. Very insightful, Dan. Yes, we all took a minute to think about what you just said.
That's right. I'm sure our professional editor will sort out any mistakes that have occurred in the meantime.
Absolutely.
Right.